بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We return then back to our دراسة and our study of the seerah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. You'll remember in the last session we discussed the beginnings of the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The fact that Allah عز وجل revealed to him the verses that were from the initial verses of the Qur'an that had in it al-wa'id wal-wa'id, that had in it the threat and the mention of threats, the mention of the promise, yani the threats of punishment for those who disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla and oppose Tawheed, the promise for Ahl Tawheed and the reward that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared for them, and likewise the mention of the prophets and the messengers of the past. Those who went through a similar affair to that which the Messenger was in the beginnings of going through. And so the ayat, they came and they were revealed, consoling the believers in that which they were facing. And as we mentioned, Ikhwan, initially there was a period, most of the books of Seerah mentioned that it was some 3 years of the initial da'wah of the Messenger of Allah, when the da'wah was not made public. Now, it was a period that was known as the period of a da'wah sirriya, or the da'wah being private or secret. And that the Messenger of Allah, he gave da'wah, as did the companions, they gave da'wah to those who were close to them, relatives, friends, companions, and the da'wah was spread secretly. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to proclaim the da'wah. فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Make it clear and proclaim that which you've been commanded. And thus with the revelation of those verses that commanded the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to proclaim that which he had been commanded, the adha and the harm began. Yani we saw in the beginnings of the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it became public, that the believers from that initial stage, ikhwan, from that early stage, they began being harmed. And indeed, there is a beautiful narration of Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, from the companions who embraced quite early, whose name was in actuality Al-Miqdad ibn Amr ibn Sa'laba. Al-Miqdad ibn Amr ibn Sa'laba. His father, Amr ibn Sa'laba, was from the... he was a notable among his people, but he had taken a life. And so he fled to the region of Kinda, or he joined, or he was taken in by Banu Kinda. He fled to Yemen and was taken in by Banu Kinda, which was a Yemeni tribe. And while he resided in that area, he married a woman from a Kindi woman, and then he had a child, and that child was Miqdad. Al-Miqdad, he had a dispute with an individual when he was relatively young. He drew his sword and he struck his leg and drew blood. And so Al-Miqdad fled to Mecca. When he fled to Mecca, he was taken in by an individual whose name was Al-Aswad. And he became his halif, that is, that he pledged allegiance to him. He agreed, yani, to defend him and what have you if they were to enter into war, and other than that. And so, because of the fact that he was young and he was considered the adopted son of Al-Aswad, he began to be referred to as Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, when in actuality he was Al-Miqdad ibn Amr ibn Sa'laba. Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, then, he embraced relatively early, and was from those who fought and participated in the Battle of Badr. And he was known to be a great warrior. He was known to be a fierce warrior. In fact, he was the only one that it was said during the Battle of Badr that remained upon his horse. He was the only Faris, or the only warrior, horseback warrior, that remained on his horse during the Battle of Badr. It was not an individual who was on horseback, except that he either came down from his horse to fight, or he was struck from his horse, other than Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Al-Miqdad He was from the companions, or the only companion that remained upon his horseback. But Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman ibn Jubair, he mentions, narrating from his father, that يعني Jubair ibn Nufair, who mentioned, جلسنا إلى المقداد ابن الأسود يوما فمر به رجل فقال طوبى لهاتين العينين اللتين رأت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والله لوجدنا أن رأينا ما رأيت وشهدنا ما شهد. He said that we were sitting with Al-Miqdad ibn Al-Aswad when a man passed by and said, طوبى لهاتين العينين اللتين رأت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, glad tidings to these two eyes that saw and witnessed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because wallahi, we wish that we could have seen what you saw and we could have witnessed what you witnessed. فاستغضب. And so Al-Miqdad, when he heard that statement, he became angry. And he said, فجعلتو أعجب. That is, he said, so I was amazed at the fact that he was angry at that statement. مَا قَالَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. For indeed he did not make a statement, he did not utter except what was apparently خير. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالَ. Then he turned to him and said, مَا يَحْمِلُ الرَّجُلُ أَلَىٰ أَن يَتَمَنَّ مُحْضَرَ غَيْبَةٍ اللَّهُ مُؤْضَرًا أَفْوَنْ غَيَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لا يدري لو شهده كيف كان يكون فيه والله لقد حضر الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقوام أكبهم الله على مناخرهم في جهنم ثم يجيبوه ولم يصدقوه. He said that indeed, what is it that holds or causes a man to desire to be present at something that Allah Azza wa Jal had caused him to be absent from? Allah Azza wa Jal caused you to be absent. He said, what is it that makes a man desire something that he was absent from? He said, because indeed he does not know, had he been present, how he would have been in it. And it is easy to say we wish that we were present and we wish that we witnessed and we wish that we were there. He said, by Allah, he does not know, had he been present, how he would have been in it. Yani, which party would you have been from? Haqiqatan. Because it wasn't easy, ikhwan, to take up faith and to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and to follow the Messenger, particularly in the bidayat and in the beginnings, was an affair that was sahab. It was difficult. You would be ostracized, you would be boycotted, you would be punished, you would be harmed physically, verbally, called names. There were all types of sanctions that took place with the companions, Ridwanullah alayhim, in the beginnings. And so, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, when he heard that statement, it angered him. Don't make a statement such as that, you don't know what it was like. And so he mentioned that by Allah, there were men who were present with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah azza wa jal caused them to fall upon their faces in Jahannam. And they fell upon their faces in Jahannam because of the selections that they made, the choices that they made. He mentioned, and they did not respond to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, neither did they believe in him. And so he mentions the fact then that he goes on to mention, أو لا تحمدون الله أو لا تحمدون الله إذ أخرجكم لا تعرفون إلا ربكم مصدقين لما جاء به نبيكم قد كفيتم البلاء بغيركم. He said, so will you then not praise Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal has caused you to come out into the dunya not knowing except your Lord, not knowing except believing, or not believing except in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in your Prophet, and that the trial and the affliction you were sufficed by other than yourselves? Any a period that during it, you don't know how you would have fared. Will you not praise Allah Azza wa Jal then, that Allah Azza wa Jal has caused you to come out into the dunya not knowing except your Lord, not following and believing in except the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the fitna and the trial and the affliction and the difficulty, Allah Azza wa Jal made others forego it and you escaped it. And that, without doubt, ikhwan, is a kalima and a statement that is azim jiddan for the one who reflects upon the reality of what was present within it, and particularly for the one who reflects upon what occurred with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the companions, the difficulties that they went through. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he said that indeed I was punished in the way of Allah when no one was punished. And that, no doubt, an example of that occurs in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who mentioned, جَاءَ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ حَزِينًا قَدْ خَضَبَ بِدِيمًا ضَرَبَهُ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ. He said that indeed Jibreel came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم on an occasion while he was sitting down, حزين, covered and filled with grief, and he was covered in blood after being hit and after being attacked by the people of Mecca. فَقَالَ لَهُ مَالَكَ. And so Jibreel, he said to him, what is wrong? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَعَلَ بِي هَؤُلَاءِ وَفَعَلُوا. He said, these people have done such and such and such and such with me, or to me. فَقَالَ لَهُ جِبْرِيل عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَتُحِبُّ أَنْ أُرِيكَ آيَةً. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he said to him, do you not wish to see a sign, yani an ayah from Allah Azza wa Jalla? And of course, that was for the purpose, ikhwan, of establishing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that attack and after that which occurred with him and after the difficulty and the trial and him sitting hazin and filled with grief. Jibreel, he came to him and he said, do you not wish that Allah show you a sign or that you see a sign? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, na'am. And so he said, qala fanadhara ila shajaratin min wara' alwadi. So he looked towards a tree behind the valley and he said, ud'u bitilka ash-shajara. He said, call that tree. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fada'aha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called it. فَجَاءَتْ تَمْشِي حَتَّى قَامَتْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And so the tree, it walked until it stood in front of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, مُرْهُ فَالْتَرْجِعِ. He said, now tell it to go back. فَأَمَرَهَا فَرَجَعَتْ إِلَى مَكَانِهَا. He said, so he commanded it and it returned back to its place. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حسبي. And so the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, sufficient. That is sufficient for me. يعني I don't need to say anything else. Not that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had doubt. But here, Jibreel, يعني though he was going through the hardship and the difficulty, then those hardships and those difficulties were faced by the prophets and the messengers. And here, if Allah عز وجل wished, he would have made the creation, made the dunya submit to him, command them in the same way that he submitted to other prophets and messengers like Sulaiman. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was shown that sign, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that is sufficient for me. Then it was sufficient as a means of consoling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Messenger of Allah was without doubt, ikhwan, from those who were harmed the most. Na'am, there are numerous narrations when the companions, they were harmed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and it is oftentimes, ikhwan, it is ajib that it is oftentimes a topic and a subject that is rarely discussed or it is avoided a lot of the time. But the reality is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one that was harmed the most among those who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alongside him. Sheikh Nasir also mentions in these narrations, ikhwan, in the Sahih Sirah of Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, Sheikh Nasir, he mentions عن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنها قالت لما نزلت تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب أقبلت العوراء جميل بنت هرب لها ولية وفي يدها فهر وهي تقول مذمما أبينا ودينه قلينا وأمره عصينا. That the revelation when Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب, the wife of Abu Lahab whose name was العوراء أم الجميل بنت حرب, that she used to taunt the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on occasion she was seen with a rock in her hand taunting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she made some lines of poetry, مذمماً أبينا ودينه قلينا وأمره عصينا. She said مذمم, she used to refer to him as the kuffar of Quraysh. They used to dispraise the Messenger by calling him the opposite of Muhammad. Muhammad being the one worthy of praise, deserving of praise, they used to call him مذمم, from them or from dispraise, rather than Muhammad, the exact opposite, yani the one who is worthy of dispraise. So she said, مذمماً أبينا ودينه قلينا وأمره عصينا. That مذمم we reject, and his deen we despise, and his command we belie, yani we disobey. So the Prophet ﷺ, when they would call him مذمم, he said on an occasion, do you not see how Allah Azza wa Jal has turned the curses and the dispraise of Quraysh away from me? They curse me as مذمم, and they dispraise me as مذمم, wa ana Muhammad. And so the Prophet ﷺ then, Ikhwan, was from the greatest of those who received hardship and harm in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a number of narrations though that discuss the manner in which the people of Quraysh they harmed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. As far as the harm that occurred with the companions ridwanullahi alayhim, then there is a narration, an authentic narration that was mentioned by collected by Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat and others, who mentioned كان أول من أظهر إسلامه سبعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر وعمار وأمه سمية وسهيب وبلال والمقداد. He mentioned that indeed the first of those who made their Islam apparent was seven. He mentioned the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, أبو بكر, عمار يعني عمار بن ياسر, وأمه سمية, his mother سمية, and سهيب يعني الرومي, سهيب the Roman who was actually Persian, who was actually Persian in origin, but he was enslaved by the Romans, and so he was referred to as سهيب الرومي, but he was actually Persian in origin. وبلال والمقداد. And all of these were the first of those who made their Islam apparent. فَأَمَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَمَنَعَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِعَمِّهِ أَبِي طَالِبِ بِعَمِّهِ أَبِي طَالِبِ. He said, firstly, as far as the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is concerned, then Allah عز وجل preserved him by way of his uncle Abu Talib. وَأَمَّا أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَمَنَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمِهِ. As far as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, then he was prevented and protected by his people. He mentioned, وَأَمَّا سَائِرُهُمْ فَأَخَذَهُمْ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَأَلْبَسُوهُمْ أَضْرَاءَ الْحَدِيدِ وَسَهَرُوهُمْ فِي الشَّمْسِ وَمَا مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَتَاهُمْ عَلَى مَا أَرَادُوا إِلَّا بِلَالٍ. said that as far as the rest of them were concerned, and they were taken, and they were placed in, or they had shackles and fetters of metal placed upon them, and they were placed in the sun. They were left out in the sun. And they persecuted them and punished them and left them out in the sun. And there was not one of them except that they carried out what was commanded of them. Yani while they were, when they were being punished, there was not one of them except that they submitted to those who punished them other than Bilal. فَإِنَّهُ هَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ نَفْسُهُ فِي اللَّهِ وَهَانَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَأَخَذُوا فَأَعْطَوْهُ الْوِلْدَانِ فَجَعَلُوا يَطُوفُونَ بِهِ فِي شِعَابِ مَكَّةِ وَهُوَ يَقُولْ أَحَدٌ أَحَدٌ. He said, as far as Bilal was concerned, then Bilal, رضي الله عنه, he was punished and he was persecuted and was humble in that regard and humiliated in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, ikhwan, it was humiliation only as far as they were concerned. As far as Bilal radiallahu anhu, then that was nobility, and it's from the manaqib and the praiseworthy characteristics of Bilal. He mentions wahana ala qawmihi. And so their people, his people, humiliated him, and they took him and they gave him to the children. And so the children would punish him and humiliate him on the basis of the fact that his owner had given him to the children to do with as they please. فَجَعَلُوا يَطُوفُونَ بِهِ فِي شِعَابِ مَكَّةِ. And so they began to run around with him in the streets of Mecca while he was saying, or he continued and constantly said, Ahadun Ahad. He constantly said, Ahadun Ahad. Yani, one God, one God. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, from those who were persecuted in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have the likes of Zubair ibn Awam. Zubair ibn Awam, his uncle, took him and he was again fettered by his uncle, and then they made a fire. Yani they placed him over a fire, made a fire for him, and placed him over a fire, threatening to kill him, threatening to place him within it. وَيَقُولُ لَهُ إِرْجِعْ إِلَى الْكُفَرِ. And they said to him, return to kufr. وَيَقُولُ الزُّبَيْرُ لَا أَكْفُرُ أَبَدًا. And he was constantly saying, indeed I will never disbelieve أَبَدًا. From those who were punished, and from those who were persecuted, and from those who carried out acts of persecution, we have that which took place with Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar, with his own admission, he mentioned that he used to persecute and punish the early believers. That indeed, Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to tie his sister and her husband up. That he tied his sister up and her husband, Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, and punished them on the basis of their Islam. And some narrations mention that he would beat his sister on one day, and then he would beat her husband the following day. And he, radiallahu anhu, kana al-Khattab rajulan faddan ghaleed. He was a harsh man. And he was known to be harsh in Jahiliyyah. And that is the reality, and that is how he describes himself. Before somebody makes a YouTube video saying that we're dispraising Umar ibn Khattab, he describes himself. Now, similarly, from those ikhwan who were punished, there were a number who were freed from among the slaves. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he, on the basis of the fact that Allah had blessed him with wealth, that he freed a number of the believers. And from those who Abu Bakr as-Siddiq he freed was a woman, slave known as Zinira. A slave whose known or whose name was Zinira. Zinira, after Abu Bakr freed her, she became blind. When she became blind, the mushrikun of Quraysh, they said, it is Al-Lat and Al-Uzza who blinded her, caused her to become blind. Yani because she left the gods, and she left yani the gods of the mushrikun, yani they used to say that it was Al-Lat and Uzza that blinded her. And so she said, Kazabu. And then she made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, saying, مَا تَدُرُّ اللَّاتُ وَالْعُزَّةُ وَمَا تَنْفَعَانُ. She said that indeed اللَّاتُ وَالْعُزَّةُ don't cause harm, neither do they cause any benefit. And Allah Azza wa Jal returned her sight to her. And Imam Al-Bayhaqi collected in Dala'il ibn Nubuwa, and it was mentioned likewise by Ibn Hisham in his Seerah. Similarly, from among those who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that he purchased and that he freed. He freed a jariya or a slave girl that belonged to a tribe known as Banu Ma'mal, and she was, yani she had embraced Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu likewise used to punish her, and he used to beat her severely until she became unconscious. And he would tie her up and he would beat her continually through the day until he became bored. As the narration mentioned, Hatta mal, until he became bored. And then he mentioned, Inni a'taziru ilayki anni lam atrukuki illa malala. Said that I'm sorry. The only reason that I leave you is that I'm bored. The only reason that I've stopped beating you and yani is that is boredom. فَعَلَى اللَّهُ بِكَ. So may Allah do such and such with you. And so she responded and retorted to him by saying, كَذَلِكَ فَعَلَى اللَّهُ بِكَ. May Allah Azza wa Jal do such and such to you. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he learned of her, he purchased her and he freed her. Similarly, ikhwan, as it relates to the wealth of Abu Bakr and the manner in which he spent his wealth, there is a narration that mentions, an authentic narration that mentions that Abu Bakr, when he embraced, he had some 40,000 dirham that he spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spent aiding the da'wah, aiding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, freeing slaves and supporting the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus the messenger himself, he said that no one's wealth benefited me like the wealth of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Yani in the beginning, in the early part of Islam, Abu Bakr spent his wealth fi sabilillah, yani upon the da'wah, upon the establishment of the deen, upon purchasing slaves and what have you. Similarly, from those ikhwan who were punished and were persecuted in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have the persecution that took place with Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Khabbab ibn al-Arat was from those who were persecuted in numerous ways. But he was oftentimes and usually persecuted with fire. And on an occasion, his people set a large metal pot upon a fire. And it was a pot large enough for a human to sit in. And they left it upon the fire until it became red hot. And then they threw Khabbab ibn al-Arat into it. When it was itself red hot, they had set a fire within the pot itself. So the pot was red hot, and then they set a fire ablaze inside the pot. And then they placed Khabbab ibn al-Arat within it. The companion who narrates the qissa mentioned that by Allah, Khabbab, there was marks or there were signs on the back of Khabbab from the punishment and the persecution that he went to undergo. On an occasion, they placed him in this pot with this burning flame, with this blaze, and it was by Allah nothing but the fat from the back of Khabbab. Yani when his skin was burnt, and his back, yani the pus and the fat from his back began to pour from his back, it was the pus from his back that put the fire out. The fire was put out by the pus from his back, and thus, on the basis of that persecution, we found that Khabbab ibn al-Arat was from those who approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah," and when he came to the Messenger and he was in his cloak, sitting in the shade of the Kaaba, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, ala tastansir lana?" He said, "O Messenger of Allah, will you not seek aid for us? Ala tad'u lana? Will you not make dua for us?" Yani, look at what is happening to us, look at the persecution. And so, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as occurs in some versions of the narration, his face became red. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face changed. And then he said, "لَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ يَحْفُرُ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيُجْعَلُ فِيهِ فِيهَا دِينًا فِيهَا فَيُجَاءُ بِالْمِنْشَارِ فَيُوْدَعُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ." He said that indeed there was a man, or there used to be, from those who came before you, an individual who had a trench dug for him, and he was placed within it. And then a metal comb was brought, a saw was placed upon his head, and he was sawn in two because of his deen. And then he mentioned that did not take him, would not turn him away from his deen. And another individual who had the skin of his body removed with a metal comb, yani that his skin was peeled from his body with a metal comb, and that, yani in order for him to reject his religion, and that did not cause him to reject his religion. And then he said, "Wallahi layutimmanna Allah hadha al-amr حَتَّى يَسِيرُ الرَّاكِبْ مِنْ صَنْعَاءِ إِلَى حَضْرَمَوْتِ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالذِّئْبُ عَلَى غَنَمِهِ وَلَكِنْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "By Allah, Allah azza wa jal will complete this affair until a raqib, until a riding person will ride from Sana'a to Hadramaut." And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar and others mentioned that the reason Sana'a and Hadramaut were mentioned was firstly because of the fact that that region, which was Yemen, it had not yet entered into Islam. And number two, that it was known for danger. It was known that if you wished to travel between those regions, and the level of danger that was present there, you had to know someone within a tribe that was able to protect you in order for you to travel between those regions, because of bandit, highway robbery, and brigandry, and what have you. And so, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that by Allah, Allah shall complete this affair to the extent that a man will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut and not fear anything but the wolves upon his sheep. لَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But indeed you are a hasty people. Indeed, you are a hasty people. And so the persecution, ikhwan, that they went through, the persecution that they faced, was persecution that was shadeed and that was difficult. From that persecution, of course, is what is well known from the affair of Ammar bin Yasir. Ammar bin Yasir and his family, his mother and his father, they were all persecuted in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. As occurs in a narration that is Hassan, his mother Sumaya was the first martyr and the first one that was killed in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, that she was killed by being tied to the ground, and having or being killed with a spear through her private parts. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw the persecution of the family of Ammar, he passed by their family saying, Sabran ya al Yasir, fa inna maw'idukum al Jannah. He said, Sabran, patience of family of Yasir, for indeed what you have been promised is Jannah. The Messenger ﷺ was not reactionary, ikhwan, as we see some of the people in our time being. Yani, if they were to hear an individual now saying, be patient, O Muslimun, do such and such, do such and such, adorn yourselves with patience, you would hear that they are government agents and that they are filled with cowardice, and that they are not carrying out the wajib of jihad, and. Here the Messenger, after the